You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome aboard. It's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, with Mr. Dennis Prout and Company. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, put those snow shovels down. Let's listen to the radio, shall we?
Radio.
Right. Radio, the radio. Well, it's great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on Thursday. Thursday. January 30th,
2025. Almost done with January.
Hold on. I'll get your mics up.
Say that again. We didn't hear you, Heidi. Sorry.
I said we're almost done with January. Yeah. It doesn't seem possible.
The 30th of January. Wow. And speaking of that, we are in the middle of winter, but the birds don't all know that.
Oh, yeah?
Don't like that?
Are you hearing birds?
They're singing that song. Yeah. So I'm walking.
Oh, really?
Even this morning. Who would have thought?
I see the chickadees. The nuthatches, mm-hmm. Cardinals.
You saw cardinals?
Owls. Yeah.
Really?
I think that was it. No, maybe not. I don't know when the last time we did. We get them in our backyard, but I don't know the last time that we saw them.
Well, anyway, they appear to be coming back, right, given I did hear them.
Okay.
So anyway, that was I think that was a peewee. Oh. But I was kind of surprised to hear it.
I love the little chickadees. Those are one of my favorites.
Oh,
they're so
they
cute.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's great to be here. If you do have a question of a financial nature that you'd like possibly answered on the radio, because we are live now. We do also have a rebroadcast on Saturday, which is not live, but we are live today, given that it's January 30th.
We are live today. The audience has been recorded.
I love that.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all
so
right
if
then.
They do have a question of a financial nature, how would they get in touch with us? Please, Ron.
They can call us or text us a message, and both work with the same number, 231-947-0023, 947-0023.
Now, joining us today, if you've already heard her, is Heidi Cartwright, our Managing Director. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here this morning.
It's great to have you. And a new attendee, a new contributor, Beth Shire, our Director of Marketing. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, Dennis.
It's great to have you. You know, you got some interesting stats. That'll be interesting to hear toward the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're talking about, are you too rich for a Roth? Now, where does rich come from? That comes from Scotland. Rich people. I had to listen to him. It's like, what are you saying? Oh, rich. That's what he's talking about anyway.
Something you picked up from your trip last year, huh?
One of the tours we did there last year. Man, what a cool land that is. We would, as we were traveling through the countryside, it was wild in that each time we turned a corner, it seemed there was a new vista or something you'd want to take a picture of. It was that beautiful, that gorgeous. But it's not that easy getting over there. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of a long flight. Yeah, be prepared. But it was beautiful.
Was it easy to understand them when you talked to them?
It was relatively. You know, they had some sayings and that sort of thing. Some of their food was a little odd.
Mm.
But And then some of it was incredible, too.
How long of a flight was that? Would you fly out of New York or
Chicago?
Detroit.
Yes. And it was about 8, maybe 9. Anyway, 8 to 9 hours. Yeah. Yep. But it was direct. Well, we went into London. The flight back was direct to the United States, and then
About 9 hours to get over there.
It was about 8 hours getting through customs on the way back. Mm. Now, that was interesting. You bet. So, too rich for a Roth. How can that be possible? Roth account is one of the most powerful retirement saving strategies available today. The most powerful, because why? Because it grows tax-free. It grows tax-free with certain limits. These retirement savers may think they're too rich for a Roth because there are income limits. Now, Heidi mentioned this somewhat last week. We're going to talk about the different ways to circumvent some of those rules. Hello? What's he saying in the background?
It might be coming. But we're good.
Okay, good. So, the Roth premise is simple. Contributions are not deductible, but qualified distributions of earnings are tax-free. Now, isn't that interesting? Why would that be that powerful? Because if you can leave it in there for 10 or 20 or 30 years, given that it does have growth or even conservative growth, the money all comes out free of tax, either for you, your wife, or your children. For those who would like to still gift to their children or beneficiaries, doesn't necessarily have to be a child. Now, it can't be a dog. It has to be a human being in the order of things, okay?
Or an entity? Could it be a nonprofit or a church or something?
Well, you'd want the regular IRA to go to them.
Okay.
Because that means that it's never taxable. So the very fact that you've saved and it's creating these problems for you, how do we think about this? Why? Why do we need to think about it? Because strategery. You know, as some politicians have said. So given the reality of how that can grow, now why would you want to give an IRA that's been taxable forever to a charity? Because then it'll never be taxed. That's the beauty of that. So we've talked about that in previous programs, but the fact that the charity won't pay the tax on the distribution to them is a beautiful thing because you got to deduct what went into it from tax. And it grew, in essence, that one grew tax-free as well, given that you give that portion to that charity. Some of the best charity money you most likely could give for compliance. Thank you very much. They've heard me. I've listened. Thank you. Back and forth. It may be some of the best money you could give to a charity because, again, as long as you die and give that money does go to the charity, then it goes tax-free. So there are some ifs and ands about that one, okay? So the income limits for 2025, the ability to contribute phases out for those who are married filing jointly. When modified adjusted gross income, are you still with me? Hello?
Yes, we're tracking.
$236,000 and $246,000, so a relatively high income. Now, obviously, not a lot of folks are in that category, but for those that are, that means you can't do a regular Roth contribution. You're limited.
Why? What's the thinking behind that? Why won't the federal government sets the rules? If you make $246,000 as a couple, you can't contribute to a Roth IRA?
As we've seen, Ron, to answer that directly with these recent, what do they call these? Not reviews. What are they called?
Executive orders?
No, I mean all the reviews of the new folks coming in.
All the confirmation hearings.
The confirmation hearings. Not all those who are in the Senate think, obviously. So some of them could actually use some personal care before they come on to before they come on video. It's like, were you in a blender before you came on? It's like, maybe you ought to glance in the mirror before you come on. I just saying, you know, it's just so comedic, some of it. Some of it's not. Obviously, I can appreciate that. But for those that are seeing that, it's not always thinking. Why would they limit it? You know, I don't know. I really don't. Because, well, here's the thinking, probably. They don't want those who are extraordinarily successful to be able to draw tax-free from an account in the future, even though they can't deduct it today. And frankly, it's going to cost them more in tax. So the flip is, you know, if someone's paying a 35% tax rate, it's certainly more painful for them to make a Roth contribution. Apparently, it's just not painful enough. You know, I don't know.
Well, you remember the story, we talked about it on the radio. It was a couple of years ago about the guy who sold PayPal or one of those services.
Yes.
And he had dumped all of his stock into, he had bought stock with his Roth, and his Roth was worth like billions or something.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying, that could be one of the motivations, is trying to limit those who are doing well from being able to
do extraordinarily well by not having to pay tax on the gains on something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah. they could avoid that with simply requiring it, that the contribution has to be in cash form. It can't be in stock. So anyway, next are conversions. For high earners looking to fund a Roth IRA, conversion is an attractive option. It simply means that you convert some monies from your IRA to a Roth. We've talked about that as well. Obviously, you pay the tax on that. But for those who don't want to make a Roth contribution, that is one way to circumvent the income limitations, because there is no dollar limit to the amount that you can convert, and there is no age or other income limit for you, okay? So thinking about that, it's simply how much you want to pay in tax on the conversion. It could be $10,000 that you decide to convert. Now, you cannot convert required minimum distributions to a Roth.
So you'd have to take those out first, and then you could convert.
Conversions also are permanent. They cannot be undone. So that song, She's Come Undone, would not be applicable here. All right? You know what I'm saying?
By the Guess Who.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
that's
Guess Who.
Right. I forgot about that. We should probably play that at one of the breaks, okay? you guys, we're talking about, that was a fascinating show, Ron, you were doing before us on memories of these folks getting their licenses and all that.
Yeah.
All the different cars.
Right.
What was Dennis's first vehicle?
Tractor? Yes. How did you know?
Oh.
Yeah. Alice Chalmers WD-45. That was when I was 5 years old. Anyway, so yeah, my first one was a 1972 Pontiac Le Mans from my brother. Thank you very much, Mark. You bet. So next, the backdoor Roth IRA. This process allows you to make a non-deductible IRA contribution. Now, anyone with earnings can have an IRA. Anyone. They're not income limited.
Any age.
Any age, as long as you have earned income. You're 90 years old, you can have an IRA. What that simply means is you don't deduct it going in, and you can convert it then. That's called a backdoor Roth to a Roth. So you don't deduct it going in. There's no income limits on opening a non-deductible IRA. However, one hurdle to keep in mind is that the normal traditional IRA distribution rules apply, including the pro rata rule. This simply means that if you've converted, let's say, 2% of your total regular IRA holdings, let's say, okay, keep this simple. Let's say you've got $6,000, or let's just make this $5,000 to keep it simpler for Dennis. $5,000 you put into a non-deductible IRA. Your total regular traditional IRA holdings are $500,000. So you decide in this case to open the non-deductible IRA and then convert it immediately to the Roth, because you can, because you're income limited. So you open the non-traditional. If you convert it, then you're going to owe, of that $5,000, because it's $5,000 divided by $500,000 to keep it simple, 1%. So you're going to owe 1% of the $5,000 in tax. So you're going to pay tax on $50 for making that non-deductible IRA contribution. That's really not a lot of money now, is it, class?
No.
Isn't that interesting? So there are all kinds of ways to put new money into an IRA. One of them could be a non-deductible IRA, and really, you heard it here first. Okay, isn't that fun? So there is no IRA that a person can't have as long as they have earned income. Some IRA is out there for you, okay? And keep in mind that there are always negatives and positives with any strategy you might pursue. But this is one way to get around some of the rules and regs by avoiding those for your particular income limitations and understanding that you have more options. Now, one other plan that offers a side door Roth, if you will, not a back door, but a side door, is the new 529 plan rules. For those that have had a 529 plan for grandkids, let's say, and that has been in force for more than 15 years, those amounts can be converted to a Roth with certain limitations. The maximum lifetime amount that can be rolled over is $35,000. However, these rollovers are subject to the annual Roth IRA contribution limits, currently $7,000 per year, could be rolled over from a 529 to a Roth IRA in years after year 15, if that particular child doesn't need the money for higher education, or you simply put too much into the Roth account, into the 529 plan. Sorry. Dennis just confused the audience. Okay.
But it is another way to get money into a Roth IRA without regard to income limits.
The 529 beneficiary doing the rollover must have compensation in the year of the rollover at least equal to the amount being rolled over as well.
Earned income.
Seems like there are a lot of loopholes with all of this.
There are some rules and regs. Correct. But isn't that interesting? It's one way to say, Johnny, you're now 30 years old. There's $15,000 of this 529 plan you didn't use. Why don't we put that over into your Roth IRA where it can grow tax-free, and there's no tax on the conversion from the 529 to the Roth. In some cases, this can be really helpful, allowing for more flexibility for those who don't need all those funds. Now, for sure, most children are going to use all these funds in the 529. I get that. But for those amounts that are left, that can be a really nice option.
And what's so powerful, I think, Dennis, about this option is that you think about that money that was originally contributed to the 529 account and the 15 years that have gone by and the earnings and the reinvestment, and then rolling it over to a Roth, like in your example, if there are 30, you know, they keep it in there another 30 years for their retirement. That is so powerful. Like when we talk about the interest compounding, that can be very powerful for that person.
Incredibly powerful. Yeah, it's amazing. The compounding that can occur, sometimes it's just almost unbelievable. When we run those numbers and look at the actual numbers of what these some of the better mutual funds have done over the years, I didn't mention the name of the mutual fund. Obviously, you can lose money in those too, but you know, in the better scenarios, it's incredible. Okay.
Hey, we have a question on the text
line.
Yes,
sir. Let's do that.
Hello. How does one handle the RMD on an inherited IRA from a parent? You've inherited an IRA from your parent. You have a required minimum distribution. How do you handle that?
When was it received from the parent? What year?
We don't know that.
Okay. Well, let's assume it was received recently.
Yes.
After the Secure Act, okay? Assuming that that is the case, they have 10 years to take the required minimum distribution. So 10 years to take the full account and empty it, rather.
Yeah.
So let's say there's $50,000 in that inherited account.
It was 2024 was the year this person.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, so you've got 10 years to empty it. Now, keep in mind, you want to keep track of, you know, where you are tax-wise. if you've got some lower years or you're not yet taking an RMD from your own IRA, all those can come into play. You may want to take the money sooner rather than later. Tax brackets are very, very low compared to history right now. It all depends on your situation, but keep in mind your overall tax. You don't have to take regular RMDs on those accounts, but it does have to be emptied after the end of the 10th year. Okay.
So you have to take RMDs if the person who passed away was already taking RMDs.
Yes, I'm sorry.
So then you have to continue that throughout that 10-year period. If they died before they started taking RMDs, then you have just that 10-year span. So you have to check out.
That rule changed. I'm sorry.
Yep. So if this texter asked the question...
Heidi, I'm giving. I'm insisting she give me a high five on that. That is that good.
There you go.
So there you go. The rules, right?
They were. The texter said they were taking RMDs before they passed away.
I'm sorry. So you have to do. It's the least as much rule. You have to take at least as much as they were taking.
Like once a year.
Once a year. That's not the key. The key is the amount. You have to take at least as much as they were. So if they were taking 5% from the account, you have to take at least 5% from that account yearly and then have it emptied over the end of after the end of the 10th year.
Okay. And the government has provided a very handy longevity table, which will help you calculate what that RMD is. Mm-hmm. But remember, like Dennis was saying, you can always take out more. So if you want to try to smooth that glide path, if it's a significant sum, you may choose to take a tenth or something else to try to smooth that tax impact than waiting till the 10th year. And then if it's $100,000, that could push you into a higher tax bracket.
So to develop a strategy, should they speak to financial planning experts like you or with a tax person?
If the tax person knows those rules, not all of them do.
But that's something you would handle if
absolutely.
Because you want to know their income and their tax bracket and all of that and figure it out. Right. Get a 10-year plan.
As a
that's
good
right.
CPA would, yes, true, yes, but not all of them know those rules, which are relatively complex and relatively new, you bet, as evidenced by our own conversation here. So it's thinking about this on the fly, it's interesting. You can already see when we're answering these questions on the radio, it's automatically going to be give itself to error and fault because you're not sitting with someone. They're not in their office, and they don't, they're not able to, we're just not able to think as thoroughly as we might otherwise. And I'm pointing the finger at us in having these conversations. I mean, really, if you can. Have this with an individual in their office, okay?
By the way, that texter also wrote back, said, thank you very much. And then we have another question. When Michigan eliminates the tax on retirement income in 2026, will that be only on the income, or will that also include the original contribution to the traditional IRA, which was tax deductible at the time? Boy.
I gotta actually read that for myself.
So, we are in this phase out period of the state taxing retirement income, which includes IRAs and pensions and other type things. So, it's my understanding that there withdraws eventually when we get through this period of time, and I'm not sure when.
Yeah,
it ends like 27, 28.
Yeah, beginning of 27, it's totally non-taxable. Yeah, your IRA, if you've deducted it versus the earnings, they both come out in a taxable way. If it's a traditional IRA, they're all taxable, but they're not going to be subject to state of Michigan income tax at that time, as long as they haven't changed the rules again by that time.
And finally, for this segment, I think finally, how is the RMD figured out, and when is the last year they figured it out, or they changed it, I guess?
You know, how do you figure out an RMD? I mean, it's crazy. How do they do that? Honestly, it's really not that difficult, okay? What you do is, unless your spouse is more than 10 years younger than you, you have a uniform lifetime table, which Heidi just handed to me, of course. See? Mm-hmm. So let's say you're 80 years old.
Heidi's in, like your personal computer.
She is.
Just spitting out
information.
She's
our own AI source. You know, if you think the Chinese got it going, just look at Prout Financial here on a Thursday morning. Age 80, the divisor. If you're 80 anytime in 2025, your divisor this year is 20.2 or 4.95%. Is this nerdy or what? So you simply take the 1231 balance of all your IRAs, divide them, 1231 balance of 2024, divide it by 20.2. That's your RMD for the year. Remember, all of your tax deductible accounts apply to that. 401ks, IRAs, 457 plans,
simples.
And those 401 and simples. All of those IRAs have their own distribution amount. They all are 20.2 as a divisor, but they each have their, you can't commingle them to figure out your total. You have to take some of those individually, and in IRAs, you can commingle them to figure out your total amount.
So the 20.2, roughly, for every 100,000, it would be what, $5,000?
About $4,750.
$4,750.
Okay. $4,750.
Okay.
To be safe, just take out $5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Take out a little bit
some
more.
Some people like to take out round numbers.
Yeah. Okay. It's easier to figure out, you know? Plus, you know, what? Again, because tax brackets are so low, you may want to take more. You may want to take out more to use as a conversion. So to pay the tax on a conversion, on an IRA conversion, because you've got X over in the IRA, much larger than your Roth account. Think about this as a diversification tool. It is, and it is powerful, because all those monies are going to be taxable in the future. Do you have that table back, please? Can I have that table back? So by the time you're 80, it's 4.75%. By the time you're 90, it's 8.2%. So $1 million is going to require you at that age to take out $82,000 that year. So keep in mind, what if you live way longer, much longer than you'd intended? Your RMDs may be indeed painful at that point.
Mm.
So try to think about how we could plan for the future in case we do live longer. She's going to let me
so
live,
you can
you know?
See how just like a simple question just becomes more and more complicated. And it really does reflect back on your individual situation. Because if you have a lower tax year, maybe you want to take out more in that tax year to lower a future RMD. And we could go on and on with examples. But that's a good reason for every year when you're taking your RMD to take a look and see where you are and see what you should do and where you should take it.
Saving creates problems, and they are usually wonderful problems created because you have to think perhaps a bit more deeply. But talk about strategy. That can be really, those are the fun conversations to have because it's from a position of strength, and bam, it's fun. Heidi, what's going on with these catch-up?
Contributions.
Catch-up, not catch-up. Catch-up contributions. Tell us, please.
Right. So this comes to us from an article by the Ed Slot Group. And the original idea behind a catch-up contribution was straightforward. Older people could boost their retirement savings by making extra contributions over and above the regular deferral limits. So what they're saying is if you are over 50, you could add extra money into your retirement account than the standard limit, the contribution limit that's out there. And this was people who maybe hadn't been saving as you're getting closer to retirement. This gave people an opportunity to add a little more to those retirement plans to help boost those balances so that they were ready for retirement when they wanted to retire.
Just when the children are out of the house, all those expenses are done, thank you very much, hopefully. You may have some more space to save. If that's the case, then you can do a catch-up contribution.
And typically, as we progress in our careers, a lot of times maybe you're at a better place in your income level, and you're able and you have the space to be able to make that contribution and take advantage of that.
Are you talking like one big lump contribution or just adding a little every month or both?
Well, the limit is for the year, and however you get there is really up to your discretion.
Okay,
if you like lump sums, you can put in a lump sum. If you want to do a little bit every month, every other month, occasionally.
Yeah. It's like driving to Detroit. There are several ways you get there.
Yep.
But hopefully you get there eventually. Yeah.
So, and you want to do what works for you and your income stream. Some people make all their money in the summer, so maybe they do lump sum around then. Other people, you know, have a salary position and it's just easier to make regular contributions over the year. All right. So since 2002, IRA and Roth IRA account owners age 50 or older have been able to make these catch-up contributions. So the catch-up limit was raised from $500 to $1,000 in 2006. Secure 2.0, which was passed in 2022, provided that the catch-up limit would be indexed for inflation starting in 2024. But with the announcement from the IRS, the limit remains $1,000 for the year 2025.
Yeah, they didn't want to confuse the populace by making $1,023.25, so they just kept it at $1,000.
Those round numbers come into play.
Mm-hmm.
So eligible individuals who will be age 50 or older on December 31st of 2025 can make a 2025 IRA or Roth IRA contribution up to $8,000. $7,000 of that is your regular limit, and the $1,000 is the catch-up portion.
Yeah, pretty soon it's real money. I mean, between you and a spouse, if you are married, then that's $16,000 that you could put in as long as you're both over age 50 in which you make the contribution for. Okay.
So not only for regular IRAs and Roth IRAs, these catch-up contribution amounts are available for people who are in employer plans, like a 401k, a 403b, a 457, all those different types of employer plans for age 50 or older participants. This provision, though, is optional. So what that means is that the plan itself has to say, yes, we're going to allow those catch-up contributions. It's very easy for a plan to do this through their administrator. They would add an amendment to the original document that says these are allowed. But most plans already have that.
Yeah, we added that amendment. I don't even think there was a fee to do that. So, you know, not that we have anybody over 50, but just in case we ever do.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
So a new provision of Secure 2.0, the government has come in and tweaked it a little bit. So starting in 2025, employees in these different employer plans who turn age 60, 61, 62 or 63 during a calendar year will be able to make even higher catch-up contributions for that year. So above and beyond the regular, I'm over 50. So they're giving you even an extra bunch.
So what's the over 50 amount normally?
For employer plans, it's $7,500.
So they're calling this a super catch-up amount for anyone. Now, it's only in the year in which you turn these ages. If you turn more than that, let's say you're 63 right now, but you're going to be 64 here in October of 25, you can't make this super catch-up amount.
Which is sort of sad.
It is sort of sad.
And they say in the article, they have no idea why Congress just picked those ages and didn't make it for a longer, you know, a larger amount of people. It just, they said that's what it says.
It reminds me of Pride and Prejudice, where she says, oh, odd, very odd. It's just odd, you know? Hopefully they'll get on the bandwagon, whatever wagon that is, and say, let's just make it 60 to 65 or whatever, you know?
So what is this catch-up limit for this lucky group of people between 60 and 63? The catch-up limit is $11,250, which is $3,750 higher than the people who are over 50. So, you know, they always try to make our lives easier by just smoothing the pathway so it's easy to understand, right?
It just reminds me of Forrest Gump, you know. Are you stupid? Yeah, well, it's a nice rule to know if you do need to, frankly, You need to save more. You're maybe a bit behind in the saving game. This could be a way to take advantage of that and really put some more funds in. And this could be Roth or regular contributions to your 401k, 403b, 457 plan. So a fair number of the populace could take advantage of this, given that you're those ages in 2025.
None of these plans have unlimited contributions, right? They all have limits?
Yes.
What's the 401k? What's that limit, roughly?
So the 401k limit for people who don't have any kind of catch-up, people under 50, for 2025 is $23,500.
It's 23K for those in a 401k.
All right. Now, there we go.
Okay. I think we're going off the rails.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, and I just want to mention for those of you out there who are in governmental 457B programs, there is an additional amount that can be put in for people who are in those age groups in their 60s. It is a very complicated formula and very specific. So you will want to consult your plan or a financial advisor if you're in a 457B, if there is even more space for an additional catch-up amount.
It's so complex, we can't get into it on the radio, you know. But Mrs. Sauerbrunn, the class teacher, will be talking about that after the radio show. It'll be in the narthex. Indeed. Over there. Okay,
got it.
I'm kidding. Yes. Who is that? What's her name? It was just an elementary school teacher that I recall from years ago.
So we have this great chart that is available, and that you can contact our office if you would like a copy. On one side, one column talks about all of the contribution limits, the earning limits, the catch-up limits, all that stuff for IRAs and Roth IRAs. And then the other side of the form tells you all of the contribution and catch-up limits for employer plans, including 401Ks, 403Bs, SEP IRAs, SIMPLE, all these different things. So it might help a little bit for you to figure out that tangled web that we just discussed.
The tangled web we did weave, indeed, and that's includes the rules and the regs in terms of how much and the contribution limits that you can put in to each of those individual plans. For those who want to know, 231-947-3992, Melissa there can forward it to you, or you can pick it up at our office at 1105 East 8th Street.
Time for a quick question?
Yes.
Hopefully
yes.
Quick. Good morning. I'm 70 years old and single. I have an annuity with $200,000 in it. Would you please give the definition of end? And am I supposed to be taking money out of this annuity every year? The bank I have the annuity with told me to leave the interest that I make in the fund, which is about 10 grand a year, unless I need it. I live on my Social Security check of $2,300 a month.
Well, if you need income, that may be one of the better sources to draw from. So even though the bank is telling you to leave it in there, they may simply be thinking of it from a tax-deferred status. So it's going to depend on all your accounts, what other options you have to draw from other assets, and what this particular account allows. So the first monies that you take out that have been gains over the years, if you will, are going to come out taxable. But before we get into any other details on that annuity, that would be an individual conversation you'd want to have, because there are all kinds of withdrawal options, all kinds of taxability concerns to think about. And key, do you need, again, the income? If you need the income, that could be a great source to take it from. Okay? Could be. Great questions. Practical. Beth, yes. Stats, please.
Yes. Okay. So the December 2024 Consumer Price Index rose from 0.4% after rising 0.3% in November of 2024. Gasoline was the top contributing factor, with a 4.4 increase in December of 2024. Hmm. From January of last year through December of 2024, the index rose 2.9%. And that is from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics.
3% for the year, basically, on the CPI for 24.
Right.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay. And our next one is Teamsters. A union representing Costco workers voted overwhelmingly in favor of a nationwide strike as they enter the final week of contract negotiations. The negotiation deadline is tomorrow, January 31st. And that is from Reuters. So,
yeah, we were commenting. You better stop by and pick up your hot dog while there's still time, right?
Yeah. And our next one is the U.S. import prices increased by 0.1% in December of last year, following a 0.1% increase in both November and October of last year. U.S. export prices also rose by 0.3% in December of 2024, and that is from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Prices continue to rise, albeit more slowly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the Palisades fire will go down in history as the worst fire in Los Angeles, destroying almost the entire neighborhood of Pacific Palisades. And we don't have any numbers for that, but just...
Not yet.
Not yet, right.
Come.
Yeah. Just brutal.
It is.
Just brutal.
Ugh.
Yep.
You see those pictures of the devastation. It's
incredible.
Can you imagine turning in your street and just seeing nothing?
Ashes. Right? Ashes. Yes. Yeah. You bet. And lumps. Yeah. How much time do we have here, Ron?
We've got about a minute, less than a minute.
Okay. The some of the contribution limits have changed, too, for simple IRAs. We don't have time for that. But for those, again, that want that reference for the retirement contribution limits, call our office, 231-947-3992. And or to schedule your no obligation consultation, 231-947-3992.
That is Prout, P-R-O-U-T, Prout Financial Design, Traverse City. And we'll repeat the show on Saturday and new one next Thursday. Thank you, Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, and Beth Shire.